This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Welcome to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Your host, Felice Gerwitz, is an author, a publisher, and your radio show host. She will encourage, educate, and inspire you with answers to your most pressing questions, from homeschool, marriage, parenting, and much more. Felice loves to equip moms to live a Christian life because every moment counts. Be sure to visit her website at mediaangels.com. And here's your host, Felice Gerwitz.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome. This is Felice Gerwitz, and I have a great show planned for you. This is podcast 225, and you can find the show notes at Vintage Homeschool Moms. And this is the perfect podcast to cap off this month's focus on healthy eating and cooking with kids. And I have a very special guest that is also our network sponsor. I'd like to thank Radish for sponsoring the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network and this show, Vintage Homeschool Moms. Radish is a cooking club and curriculum specifically designed for kids. And guess what? It is perfect for homeschool families. So stay tuned because there's a special coupon code. They're offering a discount off their memberships, and we're going to hear more about that in just a few minutes. And personally, I love memberships because of our extended family with all those little ones, and one membership is a great gift. Well, today I'd like to welcome the founder and creator of Radish as my special guest, and that is Samantha Barnes. Samantha is a chef, a mom, and obviously an entrepreneur with a heart for helping kids eat healthy. Welcome to the show, Samantha.
Thank you, Felice. It's an honor and a pleasure to be here talking with you.
Well, I'm excited because I have learned so much about your company, and I have to tell you it has been out there on my wish list of gift giving, and I had looked into it. And so I'm so excited now because I'm going to, as I shared earlier with you before we went on the line, I'm going to be buying some gifts for our family, upcoming. But I want to know a little bit more about you and how you got started. What gave you the idea of starting Radish?
Absolutely. So let's see, my background was as a middle school social studies teacher. After college, I taught social studies, and I loved being in the classroom, and I was really passionate about curriculum and making connections and bringing the world alive for my students. And I discovered that there was this real interest that kids had in cooking and talking about food, but they didn't ever have the opportunity to really prepare food or actually get into the kitchen and start cooking. So they would sit in my classroom and chit chat about, you know, cooking shows, but then they actually weren't given the opportunity necessarily at home to get cooking. So I actually left my teaching job and I started teaching after school classes and started teaching kids to cook. I sort of branched out and added cooking camps and summer programs, after school programs, birthday parties. And that was, let's see, it's been over 10 years since that part of the business started and since I left teaching. And then about 4 years ago, we started Radish. I'm such a firm believer that food is what brings families together. And honestly, that the best place to learn is in the kitchen classroom. So, you know, you can be teaching a recipe and start weaving in geography and history and math and culture and science. And there's just so many amazing opportunities to learn while you're in the kitchen. So Radish was sort of born out of this desire to spread my love for food and family. I couldn't do camps everywhere at all times across the country. So the concept of a monthly cooking kit that was sent to families everywhere was a way for our message and this opportunity to sort of spread to families everywhere across the country.
Oh, that's great.
So We send thematic kits every month. They have illustrated recipe guides that are laminated. Kids of all ages can follow along because they are the illustrations that are just beautifully done. Mm-hmm. They have activities every month, the kitchen tool. Kids receive a patch for their apron and tabletop conversation starters for mealtime. So it's a really great kit. And then we have homeschool lesson plans. So you any one of our recipes, if you want to dive on a sort of in a deeper level and learn a little bit more about the science of that particular recipe or the culture or geography of that region, we provide additional lesson plans for our members so that they can dive deeper.
That is so great. And I've got a sample kit here that was sent out before we did the interview, and I love it. And let me just tell you, my grandkids are not getting the spatula. I'm keeping it. It's to die for. I don't know who made this spatula for you, but it's a Teflon spatula, but it is so sturdy. But what I love, Samantha, is that it has a smaller head, and you really can't find these, you know. So it's this was worth the price of admission as far as for me. But I do love it. I love the, I think we got the summer one, and there was a chocolate pudding recipe on here, and it also talked about, you know, tempering eggs, which is such a cool concept because a little kid's just going to not understand that whole thing, and it's really beautifully illustrated, like you said, and it's the science behind it, which for me is super cool.
I think it's really important to recognize that kids want to learn, and we need to meet them at their level, and we can still teach them real culinary skills and just sort of break it down in a sensible way so that they, you know, are learning the why and the how of cooking, but that they're having fun at the same time, and then they're sort of their interests are piqued because they're learning sort of that extra science or a little bit of math or, you know, going to find Shanghai on a map. So I see that as a really cool gateway. And it's sort of neat. I just actually started homeschooling my own two children this fall.
Oh, wow.
And we're doing a hybrid program that is they're home for 2 days a week, and then they're at a hybrid charter school 3 days a week. And so we're really excited and blessed to be in this community, but then also have this opportunity that now I can actually, you know, incorporate what we're doing at work and doing it at home for my own children as well. So I'm really, really excited about that.
That is so cool. I didn't even know that. And what is really cool is that you have that background in education as well as being a chef. And I think the two are, you know, go hand in hand. I have a certification in early childhood education. I was an education major and also have a minor in specific learning disabilities. So it was the cooking. I use that in my classes, even in middle school, when I would just bring in huge bins of popcorn and I brought needles and thread. And I had the kids, you know, string the popcorn, and we, of course, it was unsalted and because otherwise it would have been this huge mess. Just can you imagine this buttery popcorn that you're stringing? But I had the kids do number lines and learn math that way. And they were so excited. And I said, okay, you can eat some of the popcorn, but we've got to do this first, and then you can eat it from your string. And I mean, just nobody complained. Everybody was working hard, and they got the concepts. We used it for, you know, greater and less than, and just, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, when I looked at this kit that came in, I mean, my mind was just going. And so, you know, I think as a homeschool parent, you're really going to appreciate, you know, being able, for one thing, they're really sturdy. So I had my kids, anything that comes in the house, and I mean, I've got, my youngest is 17 and he's a boy, okay? But they had to open this up when it came in. And then they left it on the counter, and our big counter has a sink built in. And so some of the water splashed on the cards, but I mean, didn't even, you know, phase them because the one is laminated and these are like super sturdy. But I love that you could, you know, keep these in a book if you wanted to. We slip sheet everything around here, but if you wanted to slip sheet it or even put it in a recipe card holder, you could do that or even use the box because the box is gorgeous that it comes. So it's like you've thought of everything, Samantha. This whole thing is, you know, reusable, and it's got so many great little elements to it that it's, you know, it's like Christmas every month if they subscribe.
Thank you. It's so nice to hear you sort of appreciate those different elements. I think as a creator, we wanted to, or I knew it needed to appeal to parents as much as kids, mm-hmm. because kids get excited about you know, getting something in the mail, and they get really excited, you know, mommy, can we make this? Can we do this? And it really is that experiential activity. But then it has to be just as exciting to the mom and to the dad, and so something that's graphically well designed, and you know, the pictures come to life, and we put a lot of thought into the layout and into the format, because then it is something that you get excited to do and it feels more experiential. And you're right, our recipe guides are laminated and they're durable, and so they last a long time, and that, you know, they can get wet. You mentioned special you know, learning disabilities and kids with all different kinds of learning needs. You can actually take a dry erase marker and write on our recipe. So for kids that need to feel like they've completed a step and, you know, they want to cross out step one and they're sort of sequentially moving through a recipe, this really allows them to do that.
That is so great.
That's a great tip.
Yeah. Well, tell us, you know, you've got some really cool things. I spent some time on your website, and I mean, I could have gotten lost on it. You have so much great information on here, and I really like specifically where you talk about, you know, what are some of the creative ways that you can incorporate school, and also the concept that you shared on your website with cooking with kids and your goals for cooking. Can you share some of that with our audience?
Absolutely. I think that, as I said before, sort of food is this, it's this amazing common denominator, and it brings people together. And so often, when you give kids the opportunity in the kitchen to start cooking, they actually start eating the food more. So we have a hashtag on social media that's Kids Who Cook Eat. But I really, you know, over 10 years cooking with kids, I can say that the more time they are around fruits and vegetables and whole grains, the more likely they are to eat it. So you can just encourage and invite a child to come in and just say, oh, can you come on and help me make a salad dressing? Or I know my kids really like to cut the ends off of green beans. And what ends up happening is they end up eating, you know, half the pound of green beans that we're supposed to be cooking for dinner that night. But that's okay, because they're sort of engaged in the process. And just being part of the kitchen and part of the culinary world, I think, really introduces them to those ingredients and starts to establish a lifelong love of cooking and good food. But there's so much more than just eating that comes along with it. If, let's see, there's sort of one of my favorite things is thinking about kids that might not excel in soccer or theater or swimming, or they might not be a superstar academic whiz, but they love to cook. And that is an extracurricular that, as parents, I think we really owe it to our children to honor and to foster, because suddenly then they are making a batch of brownies or chicken soup, and they're bringing it to their neighbor, or they're feeding their family, and somebody's saying, this is delicious, you know, this is really good, you did a really good job at this. And their pride and their satisfaction and their achievement is remarkable. And so this is a way for kids to shine. And in actuality, cooking is something we're doing our whole lives, right? So, you know, as an adult, I'm certainly not doing gymnastics. And a lot of the extracurriculars I did as a child, I'm no longer participating in. But cooking is something that's real and that stays with us and allows us to nurture our families as we sort of grow up ourselves. And so I love letting kids experience that success and creativity and the confidence that they build when they're cooking. And, you know, quite frankly, when you're cooking, you tend to eat healthier and you tend to spend less money. So
it's
kind of a win-win for the whole family. And then you're, rather than just kind of shooing your kids away while you're trying to make dinner, allowing them to come into the kitchen and be with you and participate with you gives you that connection time and allows you to sort of reconnect. And that's what families have been doing for generations, for you know, forever. And we've sort of moved away from it, unfortunately. So I love when parents have the chance to kind of slow down and actually make a meal with their kids. And obviously, you know, you need to schedule it and make sure you have the time. You can't be rushing to make dinner and getting a four-year-old involved. It'll be a little stressful. So finding that time and really scheduling it is important.
That's so great. That is great. And it's something, like, I always cooked with my kids, and now my daughter's gone off to college, and she, you know, in her busy softball schedule and school and everything else, she still, you know, everybody wants to know when she's making anything because they're coming over. And she's like, okay, but, you know, everybody needs to bring some part of the dish, because she's like, I'm going to be cooking for everyone, because a lot of these girls can't even cook. And so she was, like you said, you know, able to take that skill with her. And I know she's not going to starve, you know, she does. And she's one, and it's so funny, because when you cook really well, it's really difficult to go out to eat, because you are going to be critiquing the food. And that's why whenever I go out to eat, I never order anything I could possibly make at home. So, because you're going to, right? It's going to fall short, isn't it, Samantha? You're going to be like, yeah, oh my gosh, mine is better, and I'm paying how much for this? Oh, gosh. So, it's so good. Okay, well, we're going to take a really quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to hear more about how Samantha encourages us to get kids to eat healthy and so much more. We'll be right back.
Hey, everyone. Felice Gerwitz here, and I want to give a special shout-out to the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network sponsor, and that is Radish. Radish is a cooking club and curriculum specially designed for kids by chefs and educators. Radish is perfect for homeschooling families. You can teach a thematic cooking lesson that incorporates math, science, nutrition, geography, and culture. With Radish, the kitchen is the tastiest place to learn. Use coupon code PODCAST at checkout for $15 off a 6 or 12 month membership. Visit radishkids.com/homeschool to learn more and to download a free lesson. That's Radish with two D's, R-A-D-D-I-S-H, kids.com.
Well, hi, everyone, and welcome back. This is Felice Gerwitz with another episode of Vintage Homeschool Moms, and this is episode 225. You can find the show notes at vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, as well as the special link to the radishkids.com /homeschool link, where they've got a special offer just for you. And be sure to use that special code, which is podcast at checkout, for a great discount off of a 6 or 12 month membership. And we really appreciate that, because we're all about saving a little bit of money when we can, right? So, again, I want to welcome our guest back, Samantha Barnes. And, Samantha, before we went to break, you know, you were sharing with us, you know, how much the concept of cooking just is something that kids, you know, it's almost like the equalizer, or even kind of elevates them a little bit, like I was sharing earlier with my daughter, where a lot of the girls can't even cook on her softball team anyway. And so she's able to, you know, excel in that area, and everyone loves it when she's making something. And as she says, we changed the recipe because our family is a chocolate family. We just love chocolate, unfortunately. But and we, you know, certain chocolate chips, which is a name brand that I won't share, but it's not your normal name brand that we use. And then I was able to take some, like, a lot of the recipes would call for shortening, which I refused to use. And I found that an unflavored coconut oil takes that place and also adds to the consistency of the cookie. It's awesome. And so my daughter's like, you know, I can't even share that with my friends, because if they knew there was coconut oil in the cookies, they wouldn't eat them. Oh, my gosh. I'm just trying not to laugh here, because she went into this whole thing about how she goes to great lengths to hide her ingredients. But, you know, it's funny, because if you said to someone, yeah, you know, but if you said, oh, this has coconut oil in it, because what they usually say is, oh, my gosh, it's such a great consistency. You know, it just has that chew that you enjoy in a cookie. And so So she was just like, yeah, and I just smile each time, and they're like, what did you put in here? You know, or if she runs out of eggs, she knows about, you know, using some flax seed. And so, you know, there's just different things that you can do when you understand the science behind it. And that is one of the questions I have for you, because I was telling one of my friends I was going to be interviewing you, and she goes, ugh. She goes, well, ask her how to get your kids to eat healthy, because she said, you know, that was one of the most difficult parenting challenges she feels, is that sometimes when they're really little, you know, you're like all excited, yay, you know, they eat all this stuff, or they'll eat anything I give them. And then once they get a little bit older, it's almost like, you know, their taste buds change, or the minute they eat that, you know, sweet cracker or whatever, you know, their taste buds want to go to that, you know, ultra salty or ultra sweet.
Mm-hmm.
So what can you share, you know, as far as some help for moms who want their kids to eat healthy?
Well, you're absolutely right. The younger the child is, the more you want to expose them to those good foods. But it doesn't mean that it's too late if you have, you know, an elementary or middle or even a high school child, because we just want to constantly be exposing the healthy foods to our kids and offering those to them. I think I mentioned this before, but I really think that kids who cook eat. And so letting them have some autonomy, you know, asking them to tonight, you know, what vegetable do you want? Should we have broccoli? Okay. Should we roast it? Let's roast it and add some Parmesan cheese on it and see how they like that way, and giving them some autonomy and choosing your vegetables and your fruits. And then letting them help make it, because it's, if you share it with somebody, you are really excited to taste it and you want to know how it's going to taste. And you're like, oh yeah, it actually was good broccoli, Mom. I think at the dinner table, one really great strategy is serving family style and letting kids choose what they want to put on their plates, so that it doesn't feel like something's being sort of delivered to you on a plate and forced upon you to
Very
eat, and letting
yeah.
families and helping themselves to what they want. And so that sort of allows kids to, these are your choices and this is what's for dinner. I know I personally don't make second dinners, and that some families do, but I personally make one dinner, and this is dinner. So there's no other option. There's no, you know, freezer chicken nuggets or cereal if my kids don't like it. And I'm fortunate that they do like most things that I make. My son is a little bit pickier, and I have to say I try not to use the word picky eating or picky eaters. I'd like to call them hesitant eaters, or kids that just, they don't like it yet. So I also want to.
I love that. The
yeah.
teacher in you coming out to me.
You know, there's nothing worse than
I know,
a kid hearing
right?
that they're a picky eater, because
right.
then they're a picky eater. You
yep.
know, oh, you're good at ballet.
Yep.
Oh, I'm good at ballet. You're a picky eater. You know,
right.
you're going to own the picky eating hat. And that is not, you don't want them to have that hat. So I don't want kids to sort of ever feel like they're lumped in that category. And I want to give the kids the framework and the vocabulary to talk about food. So, you know, taking a bite, we might say, and this works for younger kids more so, but we might say, okay, take a hello bite. You don't have to love it. You don't have to like it. Just give it a hello bite. Give it a try. Try it on. And then if they don't like it, you know, oh, it's not, I don't like it yet, or I'll try it again in a couple months. Maybe, you know, this isn't pleasing to me, because there's nothing worse than like, ooh, that's gross. And then we have another phrase that's one of my favorites that we use in our cooking camps, and that's don't yuck my yum. So, you know, peer pressure is a two-way street. And so if you have a bunch of kids, and this is great for like a larger setting or even a family,
right.
if one, you know, if everyone likes tomatoes and then that one child doesn't like tomatoes, but everyone else is talking about it and describing the tomatoes, how good they are and they're juicy and they're sweet, the child who doesn't like tomatoes might actually give them a try. But if instead he says, oh, you know, that's so gross, then he might, you know, discourage other people from trying them. So
right.
we just tell kids, you know, don't yuck my yum. And that way we're respecting everybody's food preferences. And so they're sort of more inclined to try something that maybe seemed a little bit new to them or surprising to them. And that works, I think, really well. There's a great book. It's called, let's see. I want to say it's called I won't ever eat a tomato, but that's not quite it. I'll think of it, please.
Well, just email it to me and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. But it's this cute story where, you know, they make up names for different foods. And I've actually seen that work. I certainly would not ever prescribe the line to children, but I've changed the name of zucchini to frigoloni. And man, those kids liked the frigoloni, but they didn't like zucchini.
Funny.
So sometimes it's just a little old-fashioned creativity, I think, and the exposure, and you'll sort of see that the kids, they will come around to eat things that are better for their bodies.
And I love, you know, it's so funny because food is such it can be something that brings us all together or something that you are like, you know, adamant about. And I did have a friend who forced her child to eat whatever it was that they had. And, you know, after bringing it out, you know, she did eat it. And I swear that child has always had, like, been the heaviest of her kids. You know, it was like this, mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if that's necessarily, there's a correlation, but I grew up in an Italian family where they did make me separate food. I was very spoiled, Samantha, which is amazing now that, you know, I eat everything, you know, and I'll try new things. But I didn't then. And they, you know, would get up and make, you know, little filoggetta, whatever. But when I wasn't pressured to eat, I did eventually try, and it's just like my daughter who sent me, you know, everybody sends pictures all the time, and so she sent me this food she had made, and she had made a sort of quesadilla or fajita, but what she did when she grilled the chicken, she grilled that separately, and then she had peppers and onions in a frying pan, and then she made beans and rice. And I texted her back going, I still to this day can't believe you eat peppers, because she would never eat any kind of stir-fried peppers and onions. And I go, and you deprived me all these years, ha ha. And she said, Mom, she goes, you know, it was subliminal. She goes, all this food that you had, but I never forced them to eat it. So they'd have, you know, a tortilla shell with just chicken and cheese. And that was fine. You know, we had the peppers and onions that we added to ours. So
right.
Just
absolutely.
Even, you know, growing up like that, and none of my kids are heavy, you know,
right.
But it's just a matter of allowing them, you know, and I know that it's not, and this is something I'm so glad you said it first, so I'm going to just piggyback on you. It's not a disobedient thing, which I think some parents go and they draw the line and they say, well, they're just being disobedient and not, you know, adhering to my rules. Well, everybody has different tastes, and if you think about what are some of the things you don't like to eat or you mm-hmm. won't eat, like salmon is one of them. I just have never liked salmon, and I love all kinds of fish except salmon. And recently I ordered swordfish at a restaurant, and they served me salmon, but the restaurant was a little bit darker. And I tasted it, and I said, oh, my gosh, this tastes way too fishy for me. And said something to the server, and they brought it back, and I said, could you please cook this more? And she brought it. She kind of looked at me strange. Well, now that I know why, it was salmon and not the swordfish. But when she brought it back, she said, well, let me know how you like your swordfish. And I said, or salmon. And I said, salmon. I said, I didn't order it. And she went, oh, you're right. You ordered swordfish. So I know I still don't like it. You know what I mean? So
right.
It's not like, you know, that. And so it's just, like I said, it's a preference of what you like. And I just love that, you know, you said, this is what we're having. I did the same thing, but I had enough choices where if they just wanted the grilled chicken or just cheese, you know, with the chicken, or sometimes like when the little kids have come over, my grandkids, they'll just do a tortilla and cheese. They're not even mm-hmm. eating the meat. So it's, you know, they'll get there because the ones that didn't now do eat it with the chicken. So,
right.
You know, it just, letting them make the decision. I love that. And then a question for my daughter, and that was, you know, about kids that have allergies or dietary restrictions. Do your kits provide for those?
Yes. So we have substitutions every month for vegan, vegetarian, gluten-free, and dairy-free diets. And we include those substitutions on our website. So, you know, our kits themselves at this point are not catered to any of those diets, but we recognize that there's families with multiple restrictions within each family. And so, you know, you hop online, you get the modifications. And then, like I said, with the dry erase marker, you can even go into the recipe and alter it right there so that your child feels like they've got the tools and the resources to make the ingredient swap.
That's so cool.
Because it's something that we do. You know, we know that we've got families of all different, you know, diets and allergies, and it's something we definitely want to work to. That said, we don't use any peanuts in our recipes because we know that that is a very important allergy for our family. So we don't put peanuts in our recipes. But everything else we have substitutions and accommodations for.
That is so great. And I just love it. I mean, whether or not it's on the card, Samantha, you provide for that on your website, and that's good enough. I mean, that's so cool that you do that. And I know that you, you know, do have some freebies on your site because homeschoolers are all over the freebies. So there are some freebies on the site. And I think the listeners are going to really enjoy finding out more about the Radish Kids and the whole company of Radish. And you also have summer camp. So if you're in, I believe it's California, I was looking at one of the sites, and one of them is some huge mansion. Can I come? It looks like an awesome camp. It looks gorgeous.
It is beautiful. Yes, we have summer camps in the Los Angeles area, and that's sort of where that's our foundation of where Radish started. And then, yes, like you said, you can download free recipes on our website. We have bonus bites every month that are simple recipes that you can access. And we do have a sample homeschool lesson plan on our website. So you can kind of check that out and see what that's like.
Wonderful. And then also you go to some homeschool conferences, and hopefully for those of you that are listening and are attending some of those conferences, you check out their homeschool page on their website, which, by the way, thank you for. I love it. And you can see where they are going to be and maybe, you know, get to meet them in person. So that is so cool. Well, thank you so much. I can't believe we're out of time. And I really have so enjoyed hearing from you, Samantha, hearing your heart and helping kids eat healthy, which is awesome and something that is very important to me as well.
Thank you, Felice, for having me as your guest. It was a delight to talk with you, and I look forward to doing it again.
Wonderful. So, everybody, if you go to vintagehomeschoolmoms.com, look for podcast 225, and you'll find the links to Radish Kids, and that is Radish. Don't forget there's two Ds, radishkids.com/homeschool, and you can enter that special money-saving recipe, which is the word podcast. And again, this offer is not available anywhere else, so we are so blessed that they were able to offer this to you, our listeners, just in time for the holidays or birthdays or any gift-giving you have on your list. So thanks again to Radish Kids for being our sponsors, and I will talk to you guys again soon. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in to the Vintage Homeschool Mom Show. Visit Felice at MediaAngels.com and TheVintageHomeschoolMoms.com. Vintage Homeschool Moms is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network.